But it's not going to lift at this rate. And so tax levies are going to be the primary reason. Governmental expenditures, again, this is on a long-term basis. So you include depreciation, you include pension costs in these particular lines. The top line, that's public safety costs. It's been rising over these last 10-year basis, again, on a full accrual basis, by 20%. Revenues haven't risen at that pace. Public works is this other line. This revenue, this expenditure line, again, it's fully loaded. It's risen 8% a year. Interest, which is this guy, has almost declined by 100%. It's down 94% over that time. General government and all other expenditures are up about 9% over this period. So everyone says, what's going on in the general fund? Because that's what you think about, the short-term set of accounting. And that's these other two. I haven't given you this. These are two new ones. This line here, which goes from down here up there, that's tax levy increase that was occurring between 2008 and 2011 into the general fund. And then you see tax levy just flatten right out. That's the freeze that the Common Council has adopted. The other revenue that goes across the top here, that is intergovernmental revenues. So the monies that we're getting from the state and the county, that's actually down 13% over the 10-year time frame.
Imagine that.
While tax levy is up 13% over this period of time, but tax levy is $3 for every other dollar that you see on this report, because that's the scale differential between tax levy and other revenues. There's two other major lines. They're hard to see, but the point is each of them are down double digits. The all other revenues are down 17%, and public charges for services are down 14% into the general fund over this 10-year time frame. So with revenues essentially flat or down, what's happening with expenditures in the general fund? There's two major lines on this particular report. There's the blue line that starts here, spikes up. That's public safety. Then you saw Act 10 come along, and the city was able to share some of the employee benefit costs, and that's this decrease in here. And now you're seeing public safety costs begin to go up. The most recent spike was caused because the public safety departments were essentially fully staffed in 2017. In the two prior years, there were a number of vacancies that weren't there, and so we didn't have those costs. But in 2017, we were fully staffed, and you see this rise back even above the 2012 ratio. The other line that you see on this is public works costs. And this decline that you see here, that's the solid waste fee coming out of the general fund and going into its own fund, but that reduced the need for tax levy in the general fund because those costs were now supported by a separate fee in that separate fund. The other lines, you don't see them on here, but they're generally flat, 4% increase in general government costs. That's your assessor, that's your clerk, that's your city attorney, that's your finance department, that's the administration. It's up only 4% in 10 years' time. And all other departments, culture, city economic development, planning, those costs are up 14%, but they're way down here. Total expenditures, just over $1 million. It's up a little bit, but it's just up over $1 million. And this is the precede to the discussion that will be taking place in the next couple months as we start talking about budget for 2019. One last item that I'd like to report to you before I turn it over to the auditors. The auditors, in their communication to you, which was one of the reports included in your packet, identified two uncorrected financial statement items. One is in the water utility, and the city has recorded $170,000 worth of assets related to painting of the water tower and the disposal of some assets. And those are being depreciated in the water utility. Technically, in generally accepted accounting principles, we should have expensed that, and it shouldn't be in the report, but it's there. And secondly, in the sanitary sewer fund, there is some accrued interest that we didn't record related to the Ryan Creek Interceptor receipt from the Milwaukee County, and we will have that in the report next year so that I don't have to be embarrassed by having two uncorrected items. With that, I would like to turn it over to John Knippel, the partner with Baker Tilly, who has audited these statements and is likely to issue a report with no exceptions on it. John?
Before that happens, Alderman Taylor.
Real quick, for next year, can you
give us this slideshow so it's easier to read? Because I mean, here I got a bad angle. There I can't see everything, even though I got a real good sight. So I would like a copy next year. Could you also print up a copy for me and put it?
I will email this to you so that you have it for your records, and I will be certain to give it to you beforehand next year.
Right, because, I mean, you gave us 180 pages of a draft. I mean, this is way more helpful than this. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a real good presentation, but it'd be a lot easier to follow along if I could see it a little bit better, especially when it comes to the chart. So if next year you could just have copies, color copies in the packet, that'd be great.
My apologies.
No, I don't need to apologize. Just if you could, that'd be helpful.
So now we move on to Mr. Excitement.
It was a good presentation.
Thank you, Mayor. Members of the council, always happy to come before you and give a, well, my thunder, my show has really been taken by Mr. Rotzenberg. His presentation covers way more than what I would normally cover in a presentation. I did meet with the Finance Committee and did give a brief presentation and answered questions last week. Just a couple of thoughts, though, and then I'll gladly answer any questions that you might have. The objective when you do hire a CPA firm to audit is to audit your financial statements and express an opinion on those financial statements, which we will be doing as soon as Mr. Rotzenberg noted, we receive that final information. The opinion that we anticipate issuing on your financial statements is an unmodified opinion, or commonly referred to as a clean opinion. It's the highest level of assurance that you can receive from a CPA firm. It means that your financial statements are fairly presented in accordance with the accounting standards that you have to follow. What you will see noted in that opinion as well is that the city implemented two new accounting standards during the year, what referred to as GASB statements number 74 and 75. Both of them relate to other post-employment benefits, or OPEB. So there's a little bit of a difference between what's reported in your current year financial statements versus the prior year, but all of that was required to be done. Well, GASB 75 was adopted early. You actually had an extra year to do that, but the city chose to adopt that early and move forward. So that is noted in our opinion. Does not affect our opinion at all. The other item is the other document, which we entitle Communication to Those Charged with Governance and Management. This document provides us the ability to disclose to you all the things that we are required to disclose to you under our professional standards. It contains information relating to other comments and recommendations, information to that's coming down the road for as far as new standards that the city may need to address and implement. Also some just comments, things to think about relating to your operations. It also includes information relating to future audits that we work for the council. And as such, if there are things that you wish for us to pay particular close attention to or dig into a little bit more deeply, we want to hear those comments from you before we begin, as we start planning our next year's audit, so that we can address those concerns that you have. The real takeaway, though, from that document is the fact that we are not disclosing any material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal controls, and that is not always the case with many of our clients. But your controls are in place; they're functioning, and we're working in to the best that we can determine under our audit standards. So that is the big takeaway in that document. And we did not have any disagreements with management. During the course of the audit, we would have to disclose that if we did. We didn't have any difficulties during the course of the audit in conducting our work, so that's also disclosed in that document. So happy to entertain any questions that the council might have regarding anything, any of the documents or anything I've talked about.
Owen Willem.
Do you see any limitations in our software for invoicing?
You have a very one of the more advanced software packages that's in use. I it's used by multiple governmental entities, so I don't invoicing and all the other modules that you have are standard and very capable of doing what they need to do.
Okay, so if we have a purchase order to match an invoice, you should be able to track that for your purpose?
Yes.
As long as the invoice is broken up so you can know what the projects are, right?
I don't know if we look at it at that level of detail, but I know that information is there.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying
aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Have a good job, guys.
Move on to G3, a concept review for a proposed development, single-family residential, multifamily residential, commercial, industrial, conservancy, and open space on Loomis and Old Ryan. Mr. Mills?
Is Paul here only for number 8 then? Is Paul just here for 8 still? Here for only 8? So that's a case we could just take that up and receive and place on file?
When
Nick, all right. When well, I mean, Nick, he's going to stick around for something.
Gail and I were in here. That's not what it looked like.
Yeah, it washed out like that?
No, it looked exactly like that. So I don't quite know.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Thank you. Joel, you're going to do introductions.
Yes, sir. As the mayor noted, this is a concept review. It's been a little while since we've had one. A couple comments. This is an opportunity for the applicant to get some early feedback from the council about what they're proposing to do here. So they'll be asking you questions, but they'll be hoping to get some good discussion, some good feedback as well from you guys. Ultimately, it's the council does not take any actions at this point. It's just an open discussion. Provide some feedback, give some direction. There are a number of applications that they have recently submitted that are related to this that are coming up shortly, certified survey map, a rezoning, and a comprehensive master plan amendment. So what they're proposing to do, as you can see on the TV screens more clearly, is they're proposing to do a mixed-use development south of Ryan Road on both sides of Loomis Road. They currently own that property that they have identified and highlighted. They are, as you can see on the maps, they are proposing a variety of uses, as generally multifamily on the north side of Loomis, residential on the far east side south of Loomis, commercial or small industrial, light industrial buildings immediately adjacent to Loomis, and then one large parcel. They are also going to probably wish or ask you some questions about the potential for a TIF district for this area. Public sewer is immediately adjacent. The Ryan Creek Interceptor is immediately adjacent to this property, but public water is on Loomis, about 2,000 feet to the north. They will have to, as I mentioned, do some rezoning, CSMs, ultimately a subdivision plat as well to get this development moving. And then the applicant is here, Bear Development is here to ask you some questions and provide some more information.
SR.
Thank you.
Good evening.
Appreciate the opportunity. It's good to be back in front of you, and appreciate any patience you can have as we understand and work through the different processes and unique characteristics of all the municipalities. Dan Schopp from our firm has certainly spent time here in front of you guys, but we're getting the team acclimated, so appreciate
that. SR, they may not know who you are. This is SR Mills, president of Bear Development.
Correct. So my name is SR Mills. I'm here tonight with both Dan Schopp and Tim Mahone from Bear Development. Dan is the project manager for this site. Tim is our public affairs director. And so we've excited to be here. A little bit about Bear. So we're based out of Kenosha, Wisconsin. Bear's been around since 1924. It's a family business. Majority of our development activity is southeastern Wisconsin, Illinois. But we're active in about 17 states right now, actively developing in 8 of them. And so we have a pretty good, diverse team with the very smart group, hardworking group with a lot of different skill sets. So we, as you'll see from some of the asset classes proposed here as we get into the development proposal tonight, we've active developments up and down the I-94 corridor here in each one of these different product types. And something I think unique to our firm is complicated deals are typically what we do. We don't have too many layups, and the mixing of different asset classes, complicated financing transactions, that's something we pride ourselves on, and again, are excited to be here and to work with everybody. One of the, you know, the other hallmarks and something that we're very proud of as a team is you'll never hear us say that we have the best idea. We don't have a lock on all of the good ideas. We like to have a very collaborative process. We learn a lot going through these steps. We take that very serious. So Tim Mahone's Tim's role is on the team is to make sure we're doing a good job on that public outreach, that we're getting constructive feedback, that we're taking those ideas. And not every idea is a good idea, but every idea deserves some consideration, and we take that very serious as we go through the process. And we like to do it efficiently. We value your time. We value our time. So we want to make sure that we're being respectful of it as we go and as we move forward. So our process and the way we usually start this off is we start with some basic ideas. So the basic ideas are what we have on paper here tonight. We dig into the financials, maybe more than a lot of firms. We don't like to, again, this goes back to the value in everybody's time. We're constantly underwriting the financials and the economics as we go through. We don't think it does justice to anyone to show you some really pretty pictures and then not have a way to economically get it done. So as we go throughout this, we know every line on the paper and every adjustment has some kind of financial impact. So we're constantly checkpointing and proof testing the product as we go to make sure we can actually get it done and achieve everybody's objectives. The plan tonight, again, is a starting point. These are some ideas. We're excited to get feedback, understand what the council's objectives are, and staff and neighbors, citizens. But again, this is the starting point. So the way we've looked at this is we think it's a great venue this evening to, you know, we've had some feedback from staff, but now have a chance with the elected officials just to get these ideas. And then we take it out to the public. So we take that serious with the public meetings, whether required to or not. So wanted to get through this evening, but by the end of May, we would schedule that public forum to make sure we get good comments from the neighborhood and the citizens and anybody else to make sure we've got the best ideas on paper and we're respectful of the process and the community. So our development process, regardless of asset class, we ask ourselves really three main questions. And again, this is whether it's multifamily, single family, industrial. The first is there a market for what we're proposing? So is there a market for single family? Is there a market for industrial? We're always constantly checking that between market studies, external or internal. We want to make sure that what we're doing makes sense. The second component is, does it work for the community? Does it work for the site? The zoning restrictions, the traffic studies, we have to make sure what we're trying to achieve actually can be done on the proposed site. And the third, again, is those financial objectives. We never want to go too far off center and have something that we can't actually produce and do what we say we're going to do. So the objectives of this site here, and I'll jump back to the actual plan of what's in front of you. We've looked at it. There's a variety of different asset classes and product types on the proposed plan. The areas that we wanted to, the markets that we wanted to serve were industrial, single family, commercial. We wanted a large nature conservation area as well, and multifamily. Now, the one note on the multifamily, though, is we're not proposing that as part of this initial development plan. That area is it was part of the acquisition, so I'll talk about that here in a moment, but that area is actually zoned multifamily already, so we wanted to make sure we're being very transparent with this process, as we do a lot of multifamily as well, but not actually, you know, at least at the moment, we're not looking to push that piece of it forward as part of this development application, but we did want to note it because we do own that site and wanted to show something that's indicative of what could be done there and what fits within the zoning tolerances within the city.
SR, excuse me, one second.
Sure.
For the council and those in the audience, we've been working with SR and Bear for since 2014 with the original three-area development plan. You all remember that, or most of you. This plan is an offshoot of that. It pretty closely meets up with what we originally talked about in 2014 and 15. And as you all would expect, SR and his team have met with planning, engineering, city attorney, myself, and Alderman Nelson on a number of occasions. So this has been boiled down to most closely represent what we believe the city's looking for and they believe will run financially and have a market demand for. And I'll just do the commercial. Working with SR and his team has been a pleasure. They are true professionals. They get it. There's no fooling around. There's no games. And it's been a pleasure. So with that, let's do your thing.
I appreciate that. We've got a lot of really good people on the team. And we try and mitigate the times you do this for practice. We there's a lot of risks. There's a lot of things outside of our control. So we try our best to do a good job of what's in our control. We are not perfect. We make mistakes. But we're down the street, and we're not going anywhere. Our firm's been around for a long time, and so we always do our best. So one of the unique challenges, and as the mayor had mentioned, we actually had the site under contract back in 14, and we're going through that due diligence process. As we look at some of the factors unique to this site, we have high groundwater on this site, and so we've done extensive testing both with the soil borings and it scares me to think about how much money we've spent on soil borings out here already, but it's part of the process, and we understand we need to